We're good?
The conclusion of Parshas Matos. So this really starts a theme that we began yesterday, just to refresh everybody's memory. So we talk about the Bnei Gad and Reuven and their desire not to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is very strange. And the whole conversation between them and Moshe Rabbeinu begs the question, did they not know the lessons of yesteryear? How could they make such a mistake? And as we explained yesterday, that Bnei Gad and Reuven not only were not repeating the mistakes of yesteryear, but in fact, they were undoing the mistakes of the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they spurned the land of Israel, and the Bnei Gad and Reuven sought not only not to spurn the land of Israel, but in fact to expand and to develop and build on the concept of the land of Israel. And we talked about this notion that when Avraham Avinu received the promise, there were three nations whose lands were not inhabited by the Jewish people. When we came to Eretz Yisrael, this will only happen when Mashiach comes. And those are the lands of Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni, which are later known as the lands of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. This does not go to the Jewish people. This goes to the children of Esav and to the children of Lot. However, up in the north, in what's called Transjordan, there was an area which was known as Sichon Ve'og. And the lands of Sichon Ve'og, part of those lands, initially began as the lands of Ammon and Moab. They were captured by Sichon Ve'og, and as such, we were not allowed to engage in any kind of combat or any kind of conquering of the lands of Ammon and Moab. But since the lands of Ammon and Moab had partly been taken over by Sichon Ve'og, so when we had Sichon Ve'og's land, ultimately this was a futuristic realization of the true development of Eretz Yisrael in its fullest form. This is the thesis that we advanced yesterday. If it sounds confusing to anybody out there, watch yesterday's class. So, along these lines, the end of Parshas Matos talks about the Bnei Gad, the Bnei Reuven, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Now, Shevet Menashe was very interesting. They certainly did not spurn the land of Israel because part of the tribe is actually on the west side of the Jordan River in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael proper. So the fact that the tribe divided on two sides of the Jordan River, this itself tells us that they did not spurn the land of Israel at all. In fact, they remained tethered. Half the tribe was on the other side. And because that tribe was half in Eretz Yisrael proper and half in Transjordan, with them there's even less of a chash of a suspicion. In fact, there's no suspicion whatsoever. This was not a tribe that spurned the land of Israel. This is a tribe that embraced the land of Israel and pushed its agenda even further. So the end of the parsha is talking about these grandchildren of Menashe. Like you see in Maftir, in the end of the 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers, there's a man whose name is the children of Machir ben Menashe. They went to the area of Gilad and they captured these places from the Emori, from the Amorite, which was the lands of Sichon. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives the land of Gilad to Machir, the son of Menashe, who was actually a grandson of Menashe. And then the Torah talks to us about a man whose name was Yair ben Menashe. And Yair ben Menashe went further. He captured all the little villages. And the Torah says to us, Vayikra eshen Chavos Yair. He called him Chavos Yair. So why did he call him Chavos Yair? Why is that meaningful? Why is that important for us to know this? So Rashi tells us that Chavosehem means Kafar Nehen, which are the small suburbs or small villages which were around the larger municipalities. Municipalities in those days would be surrounded by a wall for safety and protection. Smaller villages, little on the what we'd call, I guess, the sprawl of different settlements around a larger urban area. So those were kfar, those were small villages. And he goes ahead and captures those villages also. And the Torah emphasizes that he called them Vayikra Esen Chavos Yair. He called them the here the Chavosehem. Chavosehem means a village. He called the villages of Yair. But Rashi says, why did he call them the villages of Yar? Was he a megalomaniac? He wanted to name everything after himself. So Rashi says, Lefish lehoyle bonim, because they didn't have any children. As we see, there are no children for Yair ben of the children of Menashe. Only the children of Machir have children that are mentioned earlier in the 26th chapter. So since Yair has no children, so we know he has no children, and Karan bishmoi lezikarin, he called these villages by his name, as a remembrance, kind of he wanted to leave behind a memorial for himself. So there was nobody else going to do it for him, he had to do it for himself. So he went and made this, he accomplished this idea of building and developing the nascent land of Eretz Yisrael in the most wonderful way that he could, capturing these villages, renaming them, calling them Chavais Yoyer, which our sages point out that the word Chavais is connected to the word of life, like the word Chava, which means Im Kol Chai, the mother of all life. And therefore, Chavais Yoyer means the life of Yoyer, or eternal legacy, a lasting legacy of Yoyer. The last pasuk, the last verse of Parshas Matis is, V'noivach holach v'yilked es knos v'es b'nei Yisrael. So then there's a man named Noivach. Now Noivach, we know actually less about Noivach than we know even about Yoyer. We don't know if he did have children, didn't we? Don't know. We just know Noivach is somebody else in that family. And maybe he was inspired by Yoyer. So he went ahead and he captured the areas of Knos, or Knot, which is a larger municipality, Vez Bnei Yisrael, and the villages that surrounded it. But Yikra Lo, and Noivach went and called it Bishmoi. So it seems that he did something similar to Yoyer. Yoyer called it Chavis Yoyer, the villages of Yoyer, and he called the villages Noivach, Noivach's villages. Okay, that sounds, you know, pretty straightforward. Who was Noivach? We don't really know. Chumash doesn't tell us. Yoyer is mentioned before. Noivach, we don't know. So the Chizkuni says Noivach is from the children of Menashe himself. He's an actual descendant of Menashe, and Ramban says that he is the son of Yoyer. Now, how exactly that works, I'm not sure, because Rashi says Yoyer had no children. Clearly, Ramban actually felt he did have a child. I don't know. That's a machlokes Rashi and Ramban. If Yoyer had a child or not, he wants to maintain that Yoyer had one child named Noivach. But I don't know. I guess he didn't think that child was going to carry his legacy. But he did. And Noivach does the same thing as his father, calling these cities by his name. And here, there is a tiny nuance that we're going to focus on. And this is such a tiny nuance, the vast majority of people would never notice it. It's literally a drop of ink. Literally. Not even a letter. Okay, we're going to focus on a dot. Talk about .com. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, you're missing the dot in the email. It's never going to go anywhere. We're literally missing one dot of ink in the Sefer Torah. And that dot of ink, if you know what you're talking about, needs to be explained. So Noivach captures these cities, and what does he do? He calls them, or he calls her, Noivach. So we can use the terminology her, a feminine term to describe a city. So Noivach calls the city Bishmai. So the rule in Hebrew is that whenever the word hey shows up, like in the word at the end of a word, that's possessive. So for example, Vayikra La, he called her. Her meaning who? The villages, the city. He called her Noivach. So it should always have a dot inside the hey, and that's pronounced La. It's called a mapek hey. So whenever in biblical grammar you have a possessive, a word that's possessive that ends with a hey, it's always going to be with a mapek hey, with a ha, the way it's pronounced. That's the rule in Hebrew. So we'd say Vayikra La. He called her, meaning these cities, Noivach. Or Vayikra Lo Noivach Bishmai. Noivach called her in his name. The dot is missing here. There is no mapik in this hay. And so the question then is, why is this law different than all others? Rashi points out, law is not law, but rather law. Meaning, Einoi mapik hay. It doesn't have that emphasis, that dot in the hay, which brings it forth in a stronger way, in a guttural way. So when there's no emphasis there, usually it's not possessive. But here it certainly is possessive, because that's what these cities were called. These Vayikra La Noivach. They were called Noivach, or these cities, or he or she was called Noivach. So this is a problem. So Rashi comes along and says, I saw in the foundational teachings of Rav Moshe HaDarshan, Rav Moshe the preacher from the time of Rashi, Lefi Shaloi Niskayim Lo Shem Zeh, because the name Noivach didn't stick. It went back to being Knos. And because it went back to being Knos, so as a result, the name didn't stick. And because the name didn't stick, it's as if the name was never given. That's why the Yikra La didn't stick. Not possessive. Lefichach, therefore, hu Rafa, That's why this hay is a soft hay, not a hard, doesn't have a hard emphasis to it. Usually, the meaning when you have a la without a la, but rather vayikra la with a soft, without an emphasis, so then it becomes like the word loy, which means no, not. That's what the Moshe Adarshan says. And that's how Rashi explains the Pshuta Shal Mikra, why when it comes to Noivach city, Vayikra La, it doesn't say it with a mapike, because really Vayikra La is like loy. Vayikra loy with a aleph, he called it, but it was not to be. Yeah, he called it Noivach, but the name didn't stick. So for example, just like in modern times, there are certain neighborhoods in Yerushalayim that were renamed from the Arab name, they gave it a Hebrew name. So for example, there's a neighborhood called Nachlaot. Nachlaot had a name of a neighborhood before, but nobody knows the original name. The name Nachlaot didn't stick. There's the Shari Chesed neighborhood. Shari Chesed is Shari Chesed. Nobody knows the original Arabic name of that neighborhood. Then you have some neighborhoods that stuck with the old name. For example, Katamon. Katamon, I believe, is a previous name. It's not a new name. Rechavia. Rechavia is a new name. This is like, you know, the classy part of Yerushalayim, the nice suburban area. And then there's an area right outside Rechavia, which is called, in Hebrew, they call it Komemiut. But nobody knows it that way. It's called Talbiya. Talbiya is an Arabic name. And that name stuck. Nobody calls it Komemiut. So for the area, for example, where the Mamila Mall, that area where the King David, not King David Hotel, is actually in Rechavia, but the Mitsudo David Citadel Hotel, that, you know, that area with, right outside the walls of Jerusalem, that neighborhood is actually, officially on the books, is Komemiut. That's the official, but nobody calls it that way. In fact, almost nobody knows that that's the name of the neighborhood. What do people call it? Talbiya. Even Chabad of that neighborhood is called Chabad of Talbiya, not Chabad of Komemiut. Whereas Chabad of Rechavia is called Chabad of Rechavia. So sometimes a name doesn't stick. You try to rename something, it doesn't stick. So for example, here we live in a place called Thornhill. What is Thornhill? Is there a city called Thornhill? Is there a mayor of Thornhill? Is there a police service of Thornhill? No, none of the above. So why is it called Thornhill? It's like a name, it's a neighborhood. People call this area a name. Not that anybody ever tried to rename Thornhill, but I mean, the city is technically the city of Vaughan. Very few people ever heard of the city of Vaughan. People heard of Thornhill. It's like Canaan heard of for the Jewish people. You know, it's like 100,000 Jews living in York Region, most of them living in Thornhill. People know of Thornhill. I live in Thornhill. Oh, Thornhill. People know of Thornhill. I live in Vaughan. People look at you strange. So for the longest time in the Ketubah, for weddings that were held here, what did we used to write? Thornhill. There is no TH in Hebrew, right? Thornhill. But nobody really knows what Thornhill is. So what's a city which is an international city that everybody knows?
Toronto.
So what did we write in the Ketubah? Thornhill, Hasmucha le Toronto, Thornhill, which is right next to Toronto, right? And then sometimes these wedding halls are in places like Concord or like, that are even less known than Thornhill. So Concord, Hasmucha le Toronto, Concord is not really Smucha le Toronto. So now we started writing Vaughan. Masa Vaughan, the city of Vaughan, called Mata Vaughan, Hasmucha le Toronto. Vaughan is becoming a little more known now. As time goes on, you know, that Vaughan is doing things. Vaughan is a bigger city. It's a developing city. There's even a downtown being built now. So it's becoming more known. And the point, of course, is that when it comes to names and places, there are legal names. There are names which are written in an address. People write, they don't write, when you fill out a letter, you don't write Vaughan, you write Thornhill. Even though it's not an official name in any way, shape, or form. Nonetheless, for whatever reason, this is the name that stuck. And my guess is that this neighborhood will not become known as something other than Thornhill anytime soon. When the Toronto incorporated its mega city, so North York, which was a separate city, like kind of shed its real. There used to be a mayor of North York, and he became the mayor of Toronto, but he used to be mayor of North York. So the mayor of North York doesn't exist anymore. There is no municipal board of North York anymore. It's all city of Toronto, which is a giant conglomerate. Yet, in many people's minds, they'll say, where do you live? They'll still say, in North York. It's still used sometimes in addresses on envelopes, although that is actually diminishing. More and more, Toronto is being written up till Steeles Avenue. It's being called Toronto, and that's all. So I'm just trying to give you modern examples give you an Israel example and a local example of how names of places can stick or not, even though they're not really official, but nonetheless the name sticks. And so here we have this guy Noivach, who renames a bunch of cities Noivach, and yet, what is the city called? Probably, whatever, like Talbiya. It went back to its first name. It's called Knos. So Rashi says, Moshe Darshan taught, that's why the Mapek Hei doesn't have an emphasis to it, Mapek Hei, Vayikra Allah. Now you should know that this missing dot is not a little thing. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. There is no other law, no other hey at the end of a word that is possessive in the entire Chamishi Chumash Torah that's missing a dot. Not a single one.
But it shows it two other places it's missing.
Where are these other places?
It says
the Book of Rus, the Book of Rus and the Book of Zechariah, which are not the Chamishi Chumash Torah. But Rashi nonetheless says this is a problem, because if it's true what the Moshe HaDarshan says, if it's true that when we have a dot, it's possessive, and we have a non-dot, it's not possessive, which we know that that's true. So if the reason is, because here we say the law is loy, it alludes. You say it says law, but really it's like loy. So it's a pun intended. It includes two words. It includes two ideas. Vayikra la, but really it's loy. He called her a name, but really it's not. So if that were to be the case, that this is kind of, this de-emphasizes the message being conveyed, meaning he called the cities that name, but that didn't really stick. If that were the case, then it would have to be so universally, anywhere in the scripture. So what's the problem? There is no other hey anywhere in the Chumash that has such a concept. Oh, but Rashi says, V'tmihani, this is quite astonishing to me. Why? Because, Ma Yiddish, what would Rav Moshe say, B'shtei Tevis HaDoymisloi, where there are two other words that are like this. Two other words are like this. Where are they? One is in the second book, second chapter of the Book of Rus, where it says, V'yoymer lo Boyaz, Boyaz said to her, and the other is in the Book of Zechariah, which speaks about the exiles and where, how far they went, and it says Livnes lo bayis, to build for her a bayis, a home. And over there you can't say the same thing. You can't say that lo is loy. So if it's true, what would you say in the Book of Rus? What would you say in the Book of Zechariah? And that's how Rashi finishes off. Now Rashi, the very fact that he quotes Rav Moshe HaDarshan, and he seems to agree with Rav Moshe HaDarshan, and he is perplexed at why the law isn't written with a mapek hei, because it should be. And he kind of accepts the drasha of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's drasha makes a lot of sense, because the Torah wants to tell you about the name being changed, and the Torah wants to de-emphasize it. The problem is that if it's a rule, the rule would have to hold water everywhere. And over here, it doesn't seem to hold water everywhere. Here it works, in the Book of Rus it doesn't work, in the Book of Zechariah it doesn't work. So this is a problem. Rashi introduced, it's a reason, it's an explanation, it clarifies for us. Thank you. It clarifies for us the idea of why we might have or might not have a mapek hei, but it's a contradiction. Elsewhere it doesn't seem to jive. Get it? It's a little bit nuanced, a little bit, but that's it. This is called studying Torah. So down to the nitty gritty, tiny little dot of ink. Every dot of ink has me.
Care if the word, if the city of Novak stuck or not.
Okay, that's a really good question, Nathan. Why should we care? I'm going to tell you why we should care. Well, let me step back for a moment. Why should we care about any of this stuff here? Who cares if Yoyer gave a name or didn't give a name? Like, what's the difference if they captured these cities? So I began actually to address this. I didn't fully developed the idea earlier. The concept here was that we're taking parts of land, of terrain, that were not organically part of Eretz Yisrael initially, and we're transforming them into Eretz Yisrael, which is a futuristic thing, because this is a realization of the promise of Keni Knizi Kadmoini. This is a fulfillment of the guarantee that in the end, Greater Israel would include other lands as well. So this is kind of a very forward-thinking, futuristic activity that's going on here. and it represents not the spurning of the land of Israel, but as we explained and developed the thesis yesterday, it represents the full embracing, fuller embracing of the land of Israel. So what does naming or renaming of cities have to do? So a guy didn't have any children, so he named himself a memorial. Big deal. But the answer our sages tell us is that the names of these places were all reflective of idolatrous devotions, which is not unlike modern times, where people name days of weeks, days of the month, as well as geography in honor of an idol. They name it, they bring to mind and they honor an idol or a religious icon. So the people of Sichon and Og were mega idolaters, and they named the villages, the places that they lived, in honor of the deities that they worshipped. So the Jewish people couldn't live in a city that had an idolatrous name. They didn't want to live in such a city. The change of name represented the full transformation of that which was previously idolatrous into that which was now part of the Jewish people. Which is kind of similar to why we came, we established ourselves in Eretz Yisrael in modern times, and the new state wanted to basically express the Jewish character of Yerushalayim. So we took a name of a neighborhood that had an Arabic name and said, no, this is Yerushalayim. This is a Jewish city. Well, what are you going to call this neighborhood? We don't know what the neighborhood was called in antiquity. Okay, we'll call it Rechavia, which is a Jewish name. We'll call it Shari Chesed. We'll call it Mazkeret Moshe. These are all little neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, little enclaves. Why Mazkeret Moshe? Because Moses Montefiore built a neighborhood. Okay, so then it became named for him. Mazkeret Moshe, the name of Moshe. So that was a new neighborhood. But Shari Chesed was an old neighborhood. And Rechavia was an old neighborhood. So it was only natural. It wasn't an idolatrous thing, but, you know, that's what they wanted to do when they established the Zionist entity. They wanted to give it Hebrew names. It's not understandable.
No, but in specific, Dafka for Novach. Is what I'm
so,
referring
well,
to.
Here, so, here's the
why
point.
Why not just have the dot in because
the Torah wants you to know that not everybody succeeded. Sometimes it doesn't succeed. Novach tried, and Novach did not succeed. Yair did succeed. Novach didn't succeed.
So is that to say that territory is not part of Greater Israel?
It is part of Greater Israel. I mean, not today. It's not recognized as Israel at all.
I mean,
it was called the State of Palestine, which was never a state ever in human history. And was originally Israel, and then, you know, the British, thanks a lot, divided this state of Palestine, which was a non-state, into a state of Israel and the state of Jordan, which was a fake country that never existed.
So the fact that they didn't succeed shows what?
The fact they didn't succeed shows they didn't succeed.
Didn't succeed in what way?
In full transformation.
Spiritually speaking,
I guess that would be a reflection of a spiritual truth. Yeah, the material reality reflects on a spiritual reality.
And the word knas is a reference to some.
Presumably, with some idol, some kind of idolatrous devotion. Mm. So there's a problem with this whole thing. What's the problem with this whole thing? The problem with this whole thing is Rashi comes along and tells us this very interesting idea that it always works, except for two places. In two places, no drasho. What's the problem with this whole thesis, with everything Rashi says? I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that the drasho actually does exist in those places. The same drasho that we say here, that la is loy, that la didn't have a la to it, that it is a soft hay, not a hard hay, not a guttural hay. So therefore, la is translated as loy. You know what? It actually does say it by those other places also. Rashi says, Tmihani, it's a wonder. So Ramban asks, what exactly is Rashi talking about? Take a look now in the Biurim book, page Reishu Tes.
Those hays do appear with a dot?
Those hays in the book of Rus and in Zechariah do not appear with a dot.
Right.
And the Medrash asks, why doesn't it appear with a dot? And guess what the Medrash answers? Because it's not what you read. Because law is loy.
Oh, okay.
Exactly what Rashi said over here. So why is Rashi saying to me, Hani? I wonder what he would do over there. What he wonder would do it over there? Exactly the same thing he does over here. Over here he says, the emphasis, don't read into it. Over there also the same thing.
Huh.
So Ramban asked this bomb of a question on Rashi. Hiksha Ramban. The Rebbe quotes here the question of the Ramban, page Reish Yud Tes, Simon Chofei. Ma Pesha Devei Rashi. What is the meaning of the words of Rashi? Rashi says, V'tmihani. This is a wonder. Ma Yidreish B'shnei Tevis HaDaimis Loi. What would Rashi, what would Moshe say in the other words like it? Like, for example, V'yomer Lo Boyaz. Instead of V'yomer Lo Boyaz. Lo said to who? To her. Who's her? Rus. Should it say V'yomer Lo? He said to Rus. Or Livnes Lo Boyaz. The Medrash actually does say exactly that. The Medrash says that when you have the word la without a mapike, it means loy, no. Ruth said one thing, and Boaz said, no. I don't accept that. That's what the Medrash says. So in fact, the Medrash Rabbah in Medrash Ruth says that the Medrash says, why does it say three times in Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim? And here we have an example of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. This is Torah, Book of Rus is Ketuvim, and the Zechariah is Nevi'im. So we have Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, one in each grouping. And the Medrash says, why do we have three times law without a mapik hay? Same word, law. And the Medrash answers, Ela haklal b'chalelu, all the reason is that it's rafa k'may loy, like not. V'kach etzleinu melamed shaloi amad lo oisya Hashem. This name didn't remain. And when it came to Rus, Rus said to Boaz, Boaz was very kind to her, and he invited her in. And Rus said, I'm just a maidservant. I'm a nobody. And Boaz said, loy. Vayikra Allah called her. When he called her, he said, Loi, you're not a nobody. Don't say you're imahis, but imha imahis. Don't say you're an amma, a maidservant. Say you are like the matriarchs. It's Boaz recognized greatness in her right away. So Boaz says, don't say you're a nondescript. You're a very important individual.
How would it have been said if it was her?
But Boaz would have agreed to what she said, it would say, Vayomer lo, mapek hei. Vayomer lo, but it doesn't say Vayomer lo mapeke, because he didn't agree with what she said. So this Ramban asks, what is Rashi talking about? Rashi comes along and says, Tmihani, I don't know what he would do elsewhere. What do you need to know elsewhere? The Medrash says exactly the same thing. This question of Ramban is not answered. Nobody has an answer on this Ramban. It's like a perplexing Rashi. Nobody knows pshat in this Rashi. Until the Rebbe came along.
Really?
Yeah. It says unbelievable pshat in this Rashi. Although there is a sefer called Imre Shofar where there's something similar. I shouldn't say nobody. Imre Shofar says something similar. But outside of the Imre Shofar and the Sikh of the Rebbe, there's no pshat in this Rashi. How do you explain it? Tzitzit Chom has this...
When you lane, do you say lock or law?
When you lane, you say over here law, not law.
Law, not law.
Yeah. Yeah. Shloima, the Rebbe says the pshat is like this. Kavonas Rashi b'milim. The meaning of the word of Rashi b'tmihani ma yidreish b'shtei teves hadaymus loy. I don't know. I wonder. I'm astonished. What would Rav Moshe say on the two words that are like this? Eini loymar. It is not to say shalei nitin limtza shum drasha hamasim lepsukim elu. It's not to say you can't find any drasha which matches for these psukim. Of course, there's a drasha. We know there's a drasha. The medrash is open. Elo shalei nitin limtza drasha kazu. We cannot find a drasha hamisyasheves gam im pshuta shel mikra, which also fits with what we call pshuta shel mikra, or the literal meaning. In other words, the medrash rejects the literal meaning. The vayikra vayomer lo bayas, bayas said to her, means bayas said to her. But the non literal meaning is vayomer, he said loy, no. It's not the same meaning. It's two different meanings. Either he said to her such and such, or he said no. It's not like you say. There are two separate meanings. There's Pshuta Shomikra, the literal meaning, and then there's the non-literal meaning. However, here, the Pshuta Shomikra, the literal meaning, and the non-literal meaning actually jive very nicely together. Vayikra lo Noivach b'shmai. What did Noivach do? He called the cities, he called Knas Noivach. However, even though literally he did call the city Noivach, you should know, it didn't last. So it's literal and non-literal. The non-literal doesn't subtract from the literal. The literal is, he called the city Noivach. The non-literal is, he called it Noivach, but it wasn't a lasting change. It wasn't a lasting transformation. The name didn't stick fully. Whereas by Rus, when she says, I'm such and such, I'm not even a maidservant, and he turns around and he says to her, have some lunch, he's not arguing with what she said. On a literal level, there is no minimizing of what she said. She said, halavai, if only I would be just a maidservant. And he said to her, please come and join us for dinner. So the literal meaning is, well, yeah, my life, sat there, come join us for dinner. The non-literal meaning is something else than what literally says. Literally says, he said, kind of accepted whatever she said, whatever, but come join us for dinner. And on the non-literal, she said, no, don't say that about yourself. So the non-literal and literal have nothing to do with one another. They can't even agree to disagree. They're like on different pages. Here, Zechariah also, the non-literal and literal don't fit at all. Either it's livnis labayis or no, livnis labayis, to build a house, make permanence out of this. So that you can't have the literal and the non-literal cannot live together, so to speak, in the same house. They cannot coexist in a pshat level. Whereas here, the literal and non-literal can coexist. And that's unique. That's not found anywhere else. And therefore, Rashi says to me, honey, and now we know why a tiny drop of ink is missing, but the problem it presents. Because a tiny drop of ink doesn't even change the meaning. It just modifies. It puts a tiny emphasis. It's yes, it's true, what it says is as face value, however, minus the emphasis. He did call these names, he did change the name, but didn't last. It didn't remain. And Rashi says that is unique in the whole Torah. So if you want the summation of today's class, could be that there is one dot of ink in the entire Torah that's unique, at least it's not even a dot that should have been. A missing dot, the mystery of the missing dot, and the mystery of the missing dot is found in this week's Parsha. It could be like a trivia for you. If you ask somebody, where is there one missing mysterious dot? And the answer is, in the last Pasuk of Parshas Matos. What is it ultimately, what is the deeper message for us? Deeper message for us is, we could make sometimes transformations, but the transformations won't always last. And really, the goal of a transformation is, it shouldn't make the transformation, no. Even if you made the transformation, the point is staying power. It's got to be a lasting transformation. And if it isn't a lasting transformation, even if it is a transformation, if it isn't lasting, then it'll be missing the dot. The email, so to speak, won't go through. And that's the conclusion of Parshas Matos.